And now we're going to hear from someone who hasn't been in the spotlight for a while, but we bet you recognize this voice. We're no strangers to love. You know the rules, and so do I. That voice made Rick Astley's name synonymous with 80s pop, especially with the hit single Never Gonna Give You Up. And that was just the beginning. He would go on to record 8 consecutive number one singles in his home country, Britain, in just 6 years. But then, in 1993, he walked away. Now, though, he is back with a new album, his first major release in nearly 30 years. It's called 50, and it's already topping the charts in the United Kingdom and just went on sale in North America this week. This old house is made of stone. And this old house I call my home. Rick Astley is on a short U.S. tour, and we spoke to him in our bureau in New York. And I started off by asking him if he was nervous coming back into the spotlight.
In a lot of ways, no, really, because I didn't have anything to be nervous about. We didn't really have any expectations. I made this record myself in my own studio at home. I wrote it all, produced it, played all the instruments. It's been a labor of love. It's been something I kind of wanted to do to mark my 50th birthday, which was this year. But obviously, I was making the record last year. I didn't anticipate anything fantastic happening, and it just went boom. So, yeah, it's great.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you.
The album is very rich. I mean, I think that, you know, the word spiritual's been applied.
Mm-hmm.
Faith is for the faithful. I see it in your eyes. And I got angels on my side.
You see it, you see it.
I got angels flying high.
You see it, you see it.
It is not uncommon for people to reacquaint themselves with a spiritual side. Can you identify something that kind of inspired, in every sense of the word, this particular sound?
I think for me, even as a small kid, I sang in choirs at the church choir, school choir, but the idea of singing with other people. And I think as a kid, when I was having Never Gonna Give You Up and a couple of other hits and stuff, I wouldn't have thought that deeply about certain lyrics, I don't think, because they were pop songs. You know, that's what they were. It was like girl meets boy, da-da-da, bump, you know. And I think having lived a bit longer now, I think certain things that have happened in my life have definitely changed the way I feel about things. That song, Angels on My Side, is about the fact that I have two elder brothers and an older sister, and they looked out for me a lot. My mum and dad got divorced, and having older brothers and an older sister, that could have gone one or two ways. They could have neglected the youngest kid, and I don't think they did. I think they looked after me.
I need the people that I really love.
That's happened right through my career as well. I've had good people around me. I've still got most of my sanity, and I've still got some money, which is a freaky thing in this industry sometimes. When people have a pop career, they kind of they get churned up and thrown out the other end, and they have a disastrous life sometimes after it. And I've had a charmed, amazing life, you know. So I think it's just been great to have those experiences to be able to write and sing about for this record.
A lot of these lyrics, as you said, they go a little deeper than often the pop song does. And you have been, well, as open as many people in your position can really be about the fact that when you were growing up, there were a lot of things going on with your family. I would suggest that at this point, looking back, that there was probably a heritable strain of mental illness.
I mean, mental illness sounds a bit much, to be honest, but I just think all families go through stuff where, well, for instance, my mum and dad had a son who died before I was even born, and I think that affects a family in ways you can't even describe, come to terms with anything. I think that's one of the most tragic things possibly to happen to two people. And I was the youngest. I was 4 or 5 when they got divorced, so I didn't really know that story. I didn't that wasn't part of my world, really. And I think also when you're around two people who are very, very, very unhappy, i.e. your parents, it's really tough. And I think what happened with me is that's why I got into music, I think. I wanted to be at the school choir. I wanted to be at church, even though I wasn't necessarily very religious, I don't think. I just wanted to be somewhere else with people my own age, and singing really helped me. And that, again, one of the songs on the album is called Keep Singing, and that's kind of, again, what that is about, that singing's been good for me right through my life, to be honest.
Keep singing, whoa, keep singing, praise it to the heavens with my voice ringing. Keep singing, whoa, keep singing, climb.
and I'll be safe some sunny day from throwing my life, throwing my life away.
Your story is so remarkable because, as you mentioned earlier, so often we hear about people like you who had these incredible successes, particularly early in life, and then become a disaster. But you didn't. I mean, you had these huge hits. And you know what? I would be remiss if I did not honor your fans by playing one of your big hits from the 80s. I'm going to pick one that I think Americans would remember. How about It Would Take a Strong Man? How about that?
Yeah,
shall we play
Let's
that?
Do it.
Let's play
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
What was it that made you decide it was time to go? And again, you know, I'm wondering, how is it that you were able to go when so many of your peers just seem to just go off the tracks? What do you think it is?
I think there's a number of things. The manager that looked after me through, you know, traveling wise and being there and all the rest of it through all my famous kind of time has never had a drink in his life. And when I said, come on, let's go and have a few drinks, he'd say, great, I'll come with you. And he'd have a Coke and I'd have a couple of drinks. And at that point, you go, well, I don't really want a couple more. You're just drinking Coke. But I also think having a few drinks in the bar, meeting up with a few people and having a few more, that's the slippery slope, isn't it? That's the point where you do that every night. And then you have to get hammered every night. And then, obviously, there's drugs, there's everything else. And I never really got into that. And I think sometimes the intensity of being famous in the way that I was can drive people to pretty crazy things, so.
Well, you were gone, but you were never really gone, because then this kind of crazy thing happened with social media, with Rickrolling, where a person provides a hyperlink, which is irrelevant to the topic at hand, but then it leads to a video of you in the famous trench coat.
Never gonna give you up, never gonna let you down, never gonna run around and desert you, never gonna make you cry, never gonna say goodbye, never gonna tell a lie and hurt you.
You know, I don't know. How do you feel about this? I could see where it could be either a huge compliment or it could be kind of annoying. Where do you come out on this?
I think it's been funny, to be honest. For the most part, most of the things have been pretty clever. There's your basic Rickroll, as you explained in the beginning, but there's been so many things that people have used that song and that video for. They've even, you know, cut up old President Obama's speeches and got him to kind of speak Never Gonna Give You Up, which I thought was pretty amazing. Our daughter, who was about 15 when that first started, quite a few years ago now, we had a sit down and she chatted to me about it, and she just said her view on it was that it was nothing to do with me. It could have been any cheesy video from the 80s that somebody picked, and I should just let it go, and that's what I've done.
Well, why do you say it was cheesy? You're hurting my feelings here. I kind of liked the video.
All right. Well,
no?
It's different. If you look back at photographs of yourself from many years back, you probably look at them and cringe a little bit. Maybe you don't, but I think most people do. And I'm in that same boat. I'm just doing it with videos that most of the world has seen. So I look at it and I just kind of think, oh, you know, I think it's pretty cheesy, that video. I think most videos from the 80s are pretty cheesy, to be honest.
Yeah, I guess. Well, congratulations on everything. Thank you so much for speaking with us. Is it true you named the album 50 kind of a little bit of an homage to Adele and her naming albums after her age?
Homage is definitely a nicer way of putting it. I didn't think I'd see my name anywhere on the same page as Adele in the chart in the UK, and boom, there it was. I really like the fact that she called her albums the ages that she was. I mean, that's what she was doing when she was that age. That's what she had to give at that age. And for me, this is where I am at 50. This is what I can give and this is what I've given. So there it is.
When you feel your day has turned and life gets in your face, when you feel all light has gone and darkness fills your space, who do you turn to, who do you call to find the love you need before you stumble, before you fall?
That's Rick Astley speaking to us about his new album, 50. It's out now. Rick, thanks so much for speaking with us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
'Cause I see stars shining like a wish for every one of us. I see silver linings every day. I see stars shining, a wish to grant us a miracle.